In 1976, Bill Koch won a silver medal for the U.S. in cross-country skiing. For the next four decades, no other American reached the Olympic podium in that sport. But one Vermont family has never given up hope. Reporter Rebecca Shear brings us the story.
I don't know how you feel about vanity plates, but the one on John Caldwell's Toyota Prius is spot on. I noticed your license plate. XC Ski?
Yeah, XC Ski. That's my license plate. Yeah. I shuffle along in cross country a little bit, not much.
At age 89, John's had knee problems and multiple hip replacements, hence the shuffling along. But that doesn't stop cross country ski enthusiasts in the United States from hailing John Caldwell as the father, grandfather, godfather, even guru of their sport. After all, he wrote the book on it. 1964's The Cross Country Ski Book. It was the first time anyone had ever written a guide in English.
It's out of print now. Yeah, I went through seven or eight editions. It was a bestseller. I guess it sold over 500,000 copies. It's the only reason I'm not in the poorhouse.
In 1941, when John was in eighth grade, his family moved from small-town Pennsylvania to small-town Vermont. John's father had gotten a job as a business manager at the progressive Putney School. Basketball had been John's game, but Putney didn't have a team. It did have a downhill ski team, which John's dad convinced him to join. And as John recalls, cross-country skiing wasn't on his coach's radar.
In 45, the winter of 45 or 46, we went to the state ski meet. We needed a cross-country skier. We need five cross-country skiers, as a matter of fact. So I volunteered, and I borrowed my little sister's wooden skis. They were about as tall as I was, about 5 feet, and adjusted them to my jumping boots and skied cross-country. That was my first cross-country race.
John's team finished second in that race and got invited to the New England Championships.
And I said, oh boy, well, I've got to train now. So I went out one day in the woods on these skis and trained, but I got tired very quickly. And that was my training. And then I went in the race in the New England Championships, and I think I finished 48th out of 50 or something like that.
John enrolled at Dartmouth College in 1946. For the first time, he got a real pair of cross-country skis and a bit of instruction. As a senior, John went to a Nordic combined ski meet, a mix of ski jumping and cross-country. He beat some guys who'd made the Nordic combined world championship team.
And I said, well, this is pretty good. I should try Nordic combined. So I tried Nordic combined the next year and made the Olympic team in 52.
When I ask John to describe his first Olympic experience, I expect to hear nostalgia in his voice or spot a tear in his eye. Instead,
it was terrible.
He laughs.
I've done a lot of sports through my life. I have never been so poorly prepared for an event. I was 26th out of 26.
No, you're 22nd. We just looked it up here.
That's John's nephew, Zach Caldwell.
22nd?
Yeah, you just got upgraded to 22nd out of 22.
Oh, I knew I was last, but well, you had three jumps in the Olympics for Nordic combined. I fell on the first two. The coach came up to me after I'd fallen twice, and he says, no sense you're taking the third jump. You can't run the cross country unless you stand up once, so why don't you just quit? And I said, no, I'm not going to quit. So I came down the end run in a crouch. I went off in a crouch, and I landed in a crouch, and I stood up so I could run the cross country the next day. I wanted to compete.
John quit racing shortly after the 1952 Winter Olympics, but his feeling of unpreparedness at the Games led him somewhere else.
It gave me impetus to say, this should never happen to anybody again.
So in 1953, John returned to the Putney School as a math teacher and cross country ski coach. The following year, John and his wife Hester, Hep for short, started having kids. And it wasn't long before those kids started skiing.
After they were born and before a year was up when they started to walk, we had plenty of time to get them on skis before they tried walking and got into bad habits. And they would ski around on the rugs in the living room. We put the skis on them. They'd go skiing. They say, oh, this is good. They like that.
One of John's three sons, Sverry, says he doesn't remember skiing around the living room, but he does remember what a low-pressure thing it was, even with a high-profile dad.
You know, we'd ski to school. We'd ski with friends. So it was never about racing. It was just you'd go out and ski.
By this time, John wasn't just coaching students at the Putney School. He was coaching the best skiers in the country on the U.S. ski team. His career advanced quickly. The sport was still young in the U.S., and by now John had gotten some very positive attention from the cross-country ski book. In 1968, John made his Olympic coaching debut at the Winter Games in France. He coached cross-country skiing again at the 1972 Winter Games in Japan. And that was the year another Caldwell made his Olympic debut as a racer. Tim Caldwell was John's eldest son. Tim and his siblings were among John's students at the Putney School. Japan would be the first of four Olympic appearances for Tim. He earned what would ultimately be his highest Olympic finish, sixth place, at the 1976 Winter Games in Austria. Another of John Caldwell's students, Bill Koch, won a silver medal. It was the first and last time an American cross-country skier reached the Olympic podium. In 1989, John Caldwell retired from coaching. In his 30-some years running the team at the Putney School, he'd helped launch the careers of many Olympians. His son Tim, of course, plus Bob Gray, Martha Rockwell, Mike Gallagher, and yes, Bill Koch, the only American cross-country skier to nab a medal at the Winter Olympics. But the next year, something happened that could very well change that. Because on March 22nd, 1990, Sverry Caldwell and his wife Lily welcomed a new baby girl. They named her Sophie.
Let's see. I don't remember when I first learned how to ski because I think I was way too young to remember.
This is Sophie, now 27.
But according to my parents, I'm pretty sure I simultaneously learned how to walk and was put on skis probably around the age of one or just shy of 1 year old.
Sophie says she didn't become serious about racing until much later. In seventh grade, she started cross-country skiing at Stratton Mountain School, a prestigious ski and snowboard academy in Vermont where her dad, Sverry, was head Nordic coach.
And it's funny because I hear horror stories about people who have their parents as their coaches and they hate it, and I can't really relate to that. I loved having my dad as my coach. He did an incredible job of knowing when to be coach and when to be dad. And, you know, dad always comes before coach.
But despite Sophie's enthusiasm for skiing, her main passion was soccer.
You know, my idol was Mia Hamm. I had her biography next to my bed, and I would read that every night before falling asleep.
Then came Sophie's freshman year in high school, when Sverry organized a class trip to a national ski competition in Sweden. On that trip, Sophie had an epiphany.
The biggest skiers in Sweden and Norway and Finland were the equivalent of football players back home. You know, they were the national celebrities, and seeing that skiing really was a big deal in other parts of the world and really ingrained in the culture made me realize that I did want to pursue this in college and potentially beyond.
In 2012, Sophie graduated from Stratton Mountain School and became the fourth Caldwell to ski for Dartmouth College. In 2014, in Sochi, Russia, she became the third Caldwell to ski in the Winter Olympics.
But today, it was Vermont native Sophie Caldwell that made history.
Back in the U.S., in a classroom at Stratton Mountain School, Sverry Caldwell, who's placed more than a dozen Nordic skiers, including Sophie, on Olympic teams, was glued to the TV with his students. A local Vermont news team caught it on camera.
I try to be a pretty calm person, and, you know, it's just like, you know, it's just another race, but my heart was beating. And
during the women's sprint final, Sophie started strong. But then her ski tangled with another racer's pole.
I end up falling in the final, but I think I crossed the line with a huge smile on my face because I never expected to see myself in the Olympic finals in Sochi. And there I was.
Out of six skiers, Sophie finished sixth.
They touted that. They said, that's the highest Olympic finish by a female in cross-country skiing.
But how does John Caldwell feel about his granddaughter's best ever U.S. finish?
Big deal. It's sort of like saying, well, that's the best race he ever ran on Blue Clister on a cloudy day with a full moon or something, you know.
But give her a break.
Give her a break, says Sophie's dad and former coach Saveri. But Sophie says she appreciates her grandfather's frankness. She always has.
My grandpa is a riot, which I'm sure you've found out by now. I pretty much get an email from him after every race, and they're always so funny. You know, I can tell he's really happy for me when I do well, but he also has a tendency to say things like they are, so when they haven't gone well, he doesn't sugarcoat it.
4 years and several World Cup wins after the 2014 Winter Olympics, Sophie Caldwell is competing at the 2018 Winter Olympics. She joins half a dozen of her father's Stratton Mountain School protégés, including her cousin and fellow Dartmouth grad, Patty Caldwell. Here's Sophie again.
I love the sport. You definitely don't get the fame and exposure that you might in other sports, but I think it attracts really good people. So my family legacy gives me this sense of pride, and I think it's something that I hope to continue to show future generations.
This past November, the Caldwell family gathered at the Dartmouth Skiway, a skiing area just north of Dartmouth College, to accept the New England Ski Museum's Spirit of Skiing Award. And it's no surprise. The annual honor goes to an individual or group who personifies an axiom coined by New England downhill ski pioneer Otto Schneebs. Skiing is not just a sport. It is a way of life.
Our story about the Ski Before You Walk Caldwell family was told by reporter Rebecca Shear.